Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Democratic candidate for Secretary of State wants your vote in the primary election. Let's go in-depth with Deidre DeGier of Des Moines. Deidre, you're running for Secretary of State. Let's give people a little bit of background where you're from. You're a real entrepreneur, I understand. Tell us about your background.
So I am originally from Mississippi, and I came to Iowa to go to Drake several years ago as a broadcast news and politics major. And my senior year at Drake, I was working at Bankers Trust, and we were working with small businesses on providing products and services to that specific segment. And in that time, I realized the gap that small businesses had as it related to connecting their products and services to an audience. They did not know how to market themselves. And we also had an influx of new entrepreneurs during that time. It was the brink of the recession. So many folks getting laid off from their jobs had no choice but to be entrepreneurs during that period. And so I decided to start my business to help those business owners market their products and services for a rate that they could afford. Because at that time, it was about $75 to $100 an hour. And that was a lot when you think about the number of hours that needed to go into the work. And so I decided to charge them like $15. Sometimes it was even free, because for me it was more about a hobby and connecting them to the resources and less about the money. I thought I was making the big bucks at Bankers Trust as an intern, $11 an hour, and so I didn't need that much more money. But that's how I got the business started, and to date we've helped over 300 nonprofits and small businesses either start and or grow. And it's been a tremendous journey, tremendous. And what's even cool about the work that I do now is that my business owners no longer have to pay me. I work with entities that have a vested interest in seeing our small businesses thrive. And so they pay me to do the work, and our business owners are more inclined to receive the services because, you know, money's tight. Money's tight, and if they can make a choice of staying in the office or staying in the shop, making money, rather than going and spending money on education, they're going to stay somewhere where they can make money. So I'm glad we're in this position to be able to really invest in the development of our businesses and nonprofits.
Well, can you give me a success story, one that you're particularly proud of? You don't have to name the business if you don't want to. If you want to, that's fine. But tell me how you helped them grow from one point to another.
Well, my favorite success story, this business owner is now a friend of mine. Her name is Tina Turner, not to be confused with the pop star Tina Turner. She had a salon, and I can use her name because she's okay with that, but she had a salon, and that salon was about the size of a master bathroom, about 350 square feet, and she had this dream of wanting something larger, wanting something bigger so that she can employ people and serve more customers. And she found a space, and I said, okay, you have to save X amount of dollars to get in this space just to give yourself some cushion so that you can build the business that you need to build. And we worked through her spending plan, her cash flow. We refined her systems so that she was able to see where her peak times were and where her low times were. We just made it a little bit more efficient than how it was being run in the past. And she was able to move in less than 6 months into a facility that was 2,700 square feet. And she's just a major success story. She's a young woman, and she's always been in the business of doing hair. She also makes wigs for cancer patients and things of that nature. Very good-spirited person, but just needed a little bit more guidance to strengthen her business. And with the little that I did, she was able to do that, because I can tell people all day what needs to happen to grow their business, but but it's not until they're convinced and they become invested in making it happen that they can. And sometimes people just need that person to push them along the way. That second set of eyes and ears to just be able to be a confidant for them in moving forward with their business. Because sometimes business owners we feel like we're on an island by ourselves and need a little bit more support. And so that's what I do.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Deidre Dejear. But you're right in there, hands-on. Mm-hmm. Your marketing's yeah. part of it, but yeah. you're helping develop the business,
yeah.
providing a voice with expertise to help guide them in a positive
yep.
way.
Yep, I started as just marketing, and over time, the needs expanded. And I was able to learn through some very smart people who helped me to start my business. And I don't express to be an expert in everything, all business oriented, but what I do is I bring experts alongside me to work with those business owners. I connect them to those resources. I don't have the capacity to lend money, but I connect my business owners to those entities that do have those products and services that are gonna be advantageous for them to utilize to either grow their business or reinvest in the business.
So you're running for the Democratic nomination to be candidate for Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be on the ballot in November. Would you remind us what the Secretary of State does?
Sure. So, you know, the reason why we kind of talk about the business component is that is one of the roles of the Secretary of State's office to... In order to do business in our state, you have to register with that office first. Whether you're a big company, mom and pop shop, a farm, or you're doing business in your home, you have to register with that office first to do business in our state. And right now, that office is just a gateway to start your business. It does not connect our business owners to the resources that are going to help them grow. And as I'm working with my business owners on a smaller scale, I mean, I think there were over 20,000 registrants last year of new business owners. You're thinking about these business owners stepping into that office. We can't take for granted that they know exactly how to do business in our state, especially when you're thinking about a salon opening. They need to do things through the Department of Health. They have to have certain licenses and things along those lines. It's important for people to understand in order to beat a code, if you will, in doing business that they know exactly how to do that. There are also untapped resources that are already existing that our state is investing in, our cities are investing in, our counties are investing in. But our business owners don't know about those resources. They're not connected to those resources. This role can do a better job of connecting the dots, if you will. The other big part of that office is commissioner over elections and campaigns, having the ultimate say in deciding who votes, where they vote, and when they vote. And I believe that this office can be integral through that role as it relates to increasing our voter turnout. In our small elections, we have minimal turnout throughout the entire state. And when I'm talking about small, I'm talking about those elections where the rubber meets the road, city council, school board. Those are the elections where people can see change happen a little bit more quickly in the communities that they live in. Needless to say, very few people are selecting those folks. And I want to make sure that we're protecting the fundamentals of our democracy and we're getting as many people engaged in the process as possible. We don't see that coming from the Secretary of State's office. So business registration and voting, those are the two big buckets. He also oversees campaigns. Anybody wanting to run for something has to go through that office as well. And so I worked on campaigns in my past, and I've worked on a presidential race. I've worked on school board races as well. My job in those races has always been invested in getting out the vote, connecting with voters, finding the voters, persuading them to participate. I've also worked in nonpartisan races like the school board ones that I just mentioned. And I just do voter registration on a nonpartisan level. And so for me, I just think that we're at a time where some of our communities are kind of disappearing. Our students are going to school and they're not coming back. There's no buy-in in the communities. And if we're to grow, if we're to redevelop our entire state, we need as many people participating in the grassroots level and exercising that most fundamental right. I believe that's a key gateway to getting people's buy-in in the communities that they live in.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Deidre DeGeer.
I've always sort of seen that office as sort of a holder of information, and, you know, they compile it and then we can access it. But you're talking about a much more active role with respect to business development and voter turnout. So it's not just a repository of information.
It still can be a repository. So the information we would be providing is information from all of the state entities that exist to date, and all of the educational entities providing the information. We wouldn't be in the business of service delivery. So just as my business does now, that's not what the office would be doing. But the office would be connecting those business owners to entities that don't cost money, that allow people to upskill in their education as it relates to being an entrepreneur and access capital when they need it. So it's still a repository, but it's giving them the information once it gets it. That's what's not happening.
Now, this doesn't directly relate to the office of the Secretary of State, but could you just touch a little bit on your own nonprofit work?
So, you know, I really am super involved in many nonprofits. I'm on the board of some, and one of them that I'm really proud of is I have a Dream Foundation where we provide students 529 plans beginning in elementary, and they're able to earn dollars to reinvest in those 529 plans by improving in their reading and having great attendance and things along those lines. Because, you know, not all of our students live in households that can help pay for college. And with the rising costs of college, it's ever more important to make sure that our students are equipped, if they choose to go that route, that they're provided some sort of assistance to help them through that. And also that they can choose a school that they really want to go to, and not one that they just have to go to because that's the only one that they can afford. I also help nonprofits in their development phases as well, helping them to be mission-driven and helping them to find dollars that correlate with their mission, to support them, their mission. You know, we in many of our communities, our nonprofits are the core as it relates to providing programming for our youth and also providing programming for our disabled communities and our aging communities. They get the grassroots component of what those communities need, and I just love being in a position to better help them serve those communities. We talk about government safety nets and things along those lines. Well, these are opportunities for people to improve their communities in such a way that is more meaningful because they're invested in those communities.
Okay, people are voting now and big election coming up. What's the most important message that you'd like to share with the listeners today?
You know, we have a new law that's in place, the voter ID law, and that law requires that we show an ID when we vote. And I want the listeners to know that there's a little bit of a caveat for this year, a little bit of an exception. If someone is, if a person is pre-registered to vote, meaning they're registered before May 25th, and they show up on June 5th, they don't have a valid ID, it's expired, or they don't have a driver's license, they don't have a passport, the poll worker is required to ask them for that information. But this year and this year alone, you're not required to show it. If you don't have the information that they're asking for and you're pre-registered to vote, simply ask them for the oath. I'm not sure if they'll offer it, but ask them for the oath. When you get that oath, you're signing it saying that you are who you say you are and you live where you say you live. And that will allow you to vote, and your vote will be counted on that day. It will not be a provisional ballot. It'll be a regular vote. For those folks who are registering on the same day, if you were not able to register before May 25th, you have to bring some form of identification, driver's license, passport, state ID, but you also have to bring proof of residency. In the past, you had to bring a piece of paper to show that you live where you say you live. Now, you can bring something on your phone. So if you have a bill on your phone that shows your address, a utility bill, a cell phone bill, anything along those lines, you can show proof of residency electronically if you need to be able to do that. So those are the big things that I want people to know from an information standpoint. But just in general, I just want people to vote in these elections. If we're to preserve our identity as a state, if we are to grow as a state, we need as many eligible voters participating in the process. So when people say your vote doesn't matter, no, it's not true. When people say that, oh, you won't need to participate in this primary, it's okay. We want each and every person to exercise that most fundamental right. What's important is that we stand shoulder to shoulder and believe in the vote and believe that at the end of the day, we're here to participate in this very simple way of just exercising our right to vote.
Why vote for Deidre DeGere?
Because I want to be a champion for your voice. I want to hear your voice. I want to make sure that you know when elections are. I want to make sure that you know how you can exercise your right to vote. We need a Secretary of State that's going to promote voting year-round in each and every election. And I believe I'm the candidate to do that.
Thanks to Deidre DeGere for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to bobleonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.